What's up, well-beings? I'm Kelly Noonan-Gorris, and this is the HEAL Podcast. Every week, I interview the leading experts in health and wellness, as well as real people with extraordinary healing stories. Whether you want to heal a physical diagnosis, a mental health issue, a past trauma, or help heal our planet, the HEAL Podcast is for you. Tune in every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Sarah Jane Case, and this is Enneagram and Coffee.
Hello, friends. Happy Monday. I hope the holidays treated you well. Today, I am sharing a bit about goal setting. But first, today's rosebud and thorn. My rose today is that I am currently working the week between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm in the co-work and no one is in the office. Like, technically, the co-work is closed, but you can still kind of come in and work. There's just no one manning the office, and I'm the only one here, and I love it. I think there's something so nice about being the only one going. Like, I love being the first one awake in the morning. I love going out in town before other people are up and about. I used to love like waking up at 4 a.m. for a road trip and like getting on the road when the roads are mostly empty. And that's kind of the feeling that being at work the week after Christmas and before New Year's is. It's like no one else is going right now and the world is just like my secret place. If that makes sense, it's my rose right now. It feels really fun. My thorn is that I'm already sad about the holiday season being over. I love New Year's. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I look forward to it every year. I try to draw it out as much as possible. I like journal like crazy. I'm making vision boards. I'm like going on reflection dates with myself. Like, it is a big deal to me. But I'm just felt so cozy this season with Christmas. Like, I think this is the most cozy I've ever felt at the holidays. It's been building over time, but this year our traditions as a family are just really solid, and the lights just felt like so magical, and it just, everything felt significant. I felt like I really noticed the changing of the seasons and the sun being up less, and I really tried to appreciate that this year instead of kind of being grumpy about it. And I'm gonna miss this. I'm already like sevening out on it, like planning, like how can I keep this feeling going into the rest of winter, because I am definitely like a seasonal depression girly. Like, it gets me every time, and I'm trying so hard, especially in like February and March when I'm just done with it. I want to try to be as cozy as possible. So I asked you all suggestions. You all sent me so many good ones, and I think that there's like twinkle lights in my future. Like, non-holiday specific fairy lights are gonna come into play. And my bud right now is New Year's and sabbatical. So I'm just really looking forward to a year. I'm just looking forward to kind of some time unplugged, away from my phone, away from my computer, to really think about who I am, where I am, where I want to go, and just, yeah, be in my space, be in my own energy, and dream about the future. I'm so lucky that I get to have that, and I want to just really be in the moment and really experience it. Which brings me to, this is the last podcast episode for season 3 of the Enneagram and Coffee podcast. I cannot believe that we are 3 years into this already. I'm so excited for season 4 and cannot wait to see what we get into next year. So as I prepare for season 4, I want to put an open call out for feedback. Anything you think is working that you'd hate to see go, or anything that you're hoping I'd do more of or do differently in the new year, I am all ears. So send anything you have via text to 828-338-9127, and I'm going to take all of your feedback into serious consideration as we plan for season 4. And also, I'll list that in the show notes for you. Now, let's get into today's conversation around goal setting.
Hello, friends. I wanted to sit down and have a talk with you about goals. So, right, we're coming up on Christmas, which means we're coming up on New Year's, and I'm not going to be posting videos after Christmas. And so this is my chance to talk about New Year's goals with you. And I wanted to talk about the three different kinds of goals that I tend to set. So the first one is lifestyle goals. The second are like plans, things that I'm going to get done. And the third are more like visions or hopes and dreams. And I want to break them down individually because I think it's important that we distinguish the three. I think oftentimes we neglect lifestyle goals, meaning goals about how we want to feel in our life, what our life looks like to us on a personal level, and things that are not measurable or metric-based, right? Things that we do for the joy of doing them because of how they make us feel in our life. Then maybe some of us are really good at lifestyle goals, right? Like that comes naturally. Pleasure, joy, fun, those things are come naturally, but maybe getting to a plan is hard. Maybe there's a plan is really something that has a start and an end, or a start and like a published date, right? Like that's like building a website or launching an online course or writing a book. These are plans, right? These are things that are, there's a start, there's a finish line, and there's all of these steps in between. And then we get into like visions. Like, what is a vision? What does that mean? What's the importance of a vision? And when I talk about vision, I think a lot of times people talk about like it in terms of like manifestation or positive vibes or positive intent or knowing where you want to go and like letting the universe provide for you. And I want to get a little bit more into that as well and how I think about that and how I work with that. So let's start with lifestyle goals. So as a reminder, lifestyle goals are about how I want to feel in my life. So I have several different ways in which I check in with my lifestyle. Mostly I do this on a quarterly basis, but I also do this once a month with core desired feelings. So I get this term core desired feelings from Danielle Laporte in her book, The Desire Map. And it's all about setting goals based off of how you want to feel, not what you want to achieve. And this is so helpful because so often we're writing goals that set us up for failure in how we want to feel, right? So if I want to feel, we've talked about this in previous Vlogmas vlogs, like my core desired feelings right now are cozy, content, and creative. So when I went back and I was looking at the day I planned for myself on Saturday, I was like, this is writing me out of my ability to feel cozy, content, and creative because I'm hustling too much. I'm coming at it from a different, too intensive a perspective. And so checking in with those core desired feelings once a month, I usually pick three feelings that I would like to have for the month. And then when I look at the plans that I have for the month and the things I have going on, I ask myself, is this pointing me back to those feelings? I've also found it incredibly helpful when doing that list journal that we talked about in that previous blog, on the reset blog. That has been so helpful because every once in a while now, like every couple of days, I'll check in and just go, how can I feel this way today? And then how did I feel this way today at the end of the day? And that has been really helpful for me to just check in with like, am I living the life I want to live? Next, let's talk a little bit about quarterly planning in terms of lifestyle goals. I check in with this in four unique ways. So the first one is my ideal day. So if I look at what does a dream day in my life look like from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, it's optimistic but realistic, right? I don't all of a sudden not have a kid. Like I can just do whatever I want. It's using the limitations that I have while also thinking like, how can I improve this, you know, maybe 10, 15% to be closer to what I need right now. And I check in on this quarterly because it's unrealistic that this would be consistent for an entire year. Maybe sometimes, you know, I keep it the same year to year or quarter to quarter, but a lot of times like my lifestyle changes, what I need changes, those core desired feelings change. And so my daily schedule may change in response, right? If I want a cozy, content, creative season, then my day's gonna have a lot more downtime. If I want an invigorating, energized, and productive season, it's gonna have a completely different task. It's gonna have a lot more, like probably socializing, a lot more, clear objectives to what a day can hold. Similarly, also at the quarter, I check in on what is an ideal week for me. So what does Monday look like? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So for right now, for me, Monday is a really good admin day. Tuesdays and Thursdays are tend to be like head down, headphones on, getting work done days. Wednesday's kind of a free-for-all, like we never know what's gonna happen. I have therapy that day, so I just kind of let it be more flexible. And then Friday's what I'm calling my CEO days, which is like moving the needle on my business forward, being future-oriented with my business. Typically, Saturday's my reset day where I get chores and tasks done, and then Sunday is nothing. I do nothing, if at all possible. So that is how I look at the ideal day and the ideal week. And then from there, I do a vision every quarter. And so what that looks like is just a journal entry that's kind of written in present tense as though it's the future. So today I woke up and blank, and I talk about how I feel in my life, what's going on in my life, what I want, what I envision a really good day in my life looking like 3 months from now. And this is really helpful in getting into the core of like what I actually want. Instead of focusing on what other people are doing or what my competition is doing or what I think I'm supposed to be doing, this really aligns me with like, what do I want? What feels good to me? If I could do anything, how would that look? What would a day in my life look like if all was well? I've done this with some of you in coaching calls. I do this in the Brave Collective. I really think this tool is so useful and getting clarity into blocking out a lot of the noise that we get outside of ourselves and really getting into who am I, what do I want, and how do I feel. From there, we can start to get into that planning. So we'll use that as information for what are some more like clear objectives, right? So if in 3 months I envision that I have written a book in that time, then I better start writing a book, right? Like that's gonna turn into a plan. Or if I envision that I've retired, or if I, you know, in 3 months, you know, we're trying to go, what could optimistically happen in 3 months? I'm giving kind of big examples here, but I'm working out every day. Well, how do I start that process now so that at the end of this season, you know, I have plans in place to make that possible for me? All right. And then our final thing when it comes to lifestyle goals that I do every single quarter are the seven dimensions of wellness. So I have my notes here. I'm gonna read them out to you. The first one is spiritual. The second is social, environmental, emotional, intellectual, physical, and occupational. And I just go through each of those and say like, what's working, what's not working, and what do I wanna do next? And this is really just assessing like, am I well? Like in general, socially, am I doing well? Occupationally, do I feel good about where I am? Am I satisfied? And it just is like kind of the idea that we have these really clear areas, and if we kind of tend to them, and if we tend to them reasonably well, then we will be well. Now, that being said, I don't think it's realistic to have like be doing perfectly well in all of those areas at one time. I think in general, per quarter, I typically have like one to two or three that I'm like, these are gonna take priority right now. These are in the most need of support. So they're gonna get the majority of my attention, and I'm gonna kind of let some other things go on autopilot for a minute. I think sometimes we can get really stuck into one dimension, like my occupation's going so well, but then my relationships are being neglected, or maybe my physical health is like killer, but I am struggling a lot to have like a sense of meaning in life or purpose in the world. So those are the seven dimensions of wellness. And the final step for me and what I check in on every single quarter in terms of lifestyle. Now let's get into plans. So plans, like I said, are things that have a really clear start date and end date, or maybe they just have a really clear publishing date, like a book or a YouTube channel or something like that, where there's something tangible that's gonna come out of this, some sort of like really clear objective. Call them plans instead of goals, because I am not a goal setter. And I think, you know, this whole thing is called goal setting, but I'm not a goal setter. I do not like to leave things up to metrics based off of other people or dependent upon other people. Meaning, instead of saying I'm gonna have 100,000 YouTube followers this time next year, I say I'm gonna post a video every single week for the next year. Do you see the difference there? Like one is like what I'm in control of. The other one is like what other people do. And I think that gets more into the vision, the manifestation realm, which we'll talk about in a second. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I don't think that this should replace your plans or be the tone setter for how motivated you feel, because so much of this is subject to everything else in the world, and that we really, when we're trying to get something done, need to focus instead on the plan and not as much on the result that we are hoping to receive, if that makes sense. Because this being metric based can be really discouraging. It's like out of our control, and it can cause us to give up on these plans if we're so focused over here on the metrics. So maybe for me, I look at my seven dimensions of wellness, I look at my vision for the year, I look at my ideal day, my ideal week, and I realize that within that, in order to achieve that, I might need to take more sponsorships on, or I might need to start a course, or maybe I really, like, in my heart of hearts know that I have a book in me that I want to write. That's where plans come in. That's where we go, okay, so for me, if I'm honest, like the beginning of the year, I'm looking at what are three plans that I can make happen this year? Like, what are three big things that I can do? Because I typically think I can do one per quarter, realistically. And the last quarter of the year, let's be honest, is a wash. Like, I often am not producing something completely new. I'm trying to tie up loose ends. I'm trying to just survive. I'm not as much like, let's move the needle forward in October, November, and December. Like, that's not typically where I'm at. So realistically, you know, January to April, I can make something. May to June, I can make something. May to July, August to, what are the quarters? You know, the first three quarters of the year, I got go get 'em energy and I can make something happen. And then that last quarter of the year, I'm typically like tapped out. Don't have anything to give. So three objectives for the year.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Babbel. It is such an exciting time of year because we have no idea what adventures are in store for us in 2023. We could have new travel experiences, new jobs, we could pick up new skills, and there's no better way to prepare for 2023 than by learning a new language with Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons. You can feel confident no matter where the new year takes you. Personally, I love to take some classes on a new language, especially if I am traveling to that location. I think it's such an act of kindness and courtesy, and it shows respect to learn a language before you travel there. So when you go into a cafe or you go into a hotel, you have some of the language to show, I take this seriously, I care about your culture, and I'm here to learn. So with Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. So you can start having real life conversations in a new language as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers. Like, this was not developed by computers. It was developed by people who speak the language so that you can learn the language the way people actually speak it. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and your accent, which I think can sometimes be the hardest part. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. This is so important because we learn languages in so many different ways, and what might work for you may not work for me. So for me, I'm big video learner. Like, that is how I learn. But for you, maybe a podcast would be better. You can put it in your ears while you are on the treadmill or the Stairmaster, whatever you want to be doing, and get your language learning in. So start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/egram. That's babbel.com/egram for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel is language for life.
Now, I am not under the illusion that those objectives will not change. I very much believe that, like, things change. What happens at the beginning of the year could alter the way that I want to end the year. And so I have a lot of check-in times with myself, right? I check in once a year in January. Then I check in at the beginning of each quarter, but I treat quarters differently if you've seen. So for me, December, January, and February are winter. So I'm gonna check in January, and then I'm gonna check in again in March. And from there, I'm going to check in also every single month, every single week, and every single day. In these plans that I have, right, I have three, let's say I have three big plans at the beginning of the year. I assign each of those plans a quarter in which I intend to do those things. And then I break them down, and each of those objectives that I have for the quarter, I'm gonna break into three sections that I'm gonna do each month. And then each of those three sections, I'm gonna break down into smaller bits that I give to each week. And then I take that task for the week and I break it down into smaller bits that I'm gonna do each day. And this is how I move the needle forward on the things that I wanna do, instead of thinking, I really want to do this thing, I don't know why I don't do it, or I'm really overwhelmed by it. This is how I do it. I break it down, and then I assign dates and times. So maybe we can do like a little exercise on what that could look like. So let's say I want to write a book. Okay, that book that I want to write, I'm going to shoot for that book having 12 chapters. If that book has 12 chapters, that means I need to write 4 chapters a month, which means I need to write one chapter a week. So I'm gonna write on Monday, edit on Tuesday, write more on Wednesday, edit more on Thursday, and then wrap up that chapter on Friday, right? That's like a way that I might approach that. So in the planning phase, this is where we're gonna see what we call SMART goals. This is where a SMART goal is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant to your life, and time bound. So when you're looking at a plan, you're going to want to make sure, okay, like I'm not going to say I want to move my body more unless it's just a general sense. Like sometimes for me, I do say that. I say I would like to move my body more because I don't want to put a plan in place. I want to be more fluid about it. And that's incredibly reasonable. But if you're like, no, I seriously want to move my body more. I want to take this really seriously and make it extremely important to me. Then you're going to want to make it a plan, and you're going to want to make it smart. You're going to make it specific. So what does moving your body mean? You're going to make it measurable. Like, okay, how often am I going to do this? You're going to make it achievable, right? You're going to be reasonable about it. You're not going to all of a sudden start waking up at 4 a.m. Instead, you're going to go, okay, I have a really clear window at 3 p.m. every day. I can fit it in there. That's reasonable. I'm not going to go 7 days a week. I'm going to shoot for 3. It's more reasonable than going from like 0 to 7, right? I'm going to make it relevant. I'm not going to say like, I'm going to become a parkour enthusiast and that's going to be my fitness method when like I'm scared of heights, right? I'm going to make it relevant to my life, like something I will actually do. And then I'm going to make it time bound. Like, what does this look like? How, when is this, you know, when am I going to do this? How is this going to look? When am I complete? That's when we're looking at a plan, right? So we have our lifestyle. This is general. Like, that's when I would say I want to move my body more. I want to, that's more lifestyle. Like, I'm generally aware of how I want this to be. And then I can take some of those lifestyle elements and I can turn them into plans if I want to. And realistically, you're going to be able to achieve like maybe 3 plans at a time. Like, and I think those 3 plans cannot be all in the same dimension of wellness, right? I can't have like 3, I mean, you could, but it's going to get you kind of stuck, right? You could have 3 occupational goals going in one quarter if you wanted to, but then a lot of other things in your life are going to get neglected. So I would kind of encourage you to say, all right, what's one occupational goal? Maybe what's one relational goal? What's one health goal or spiritual goal or emotional goal? Like whatever it is for you, set those as plans and put them in place.
Hi, this is Editing Sarah Jane. I just popped in because I'm thinking about how one of the major things that I want people to know when it comes to goal setting is to consider, am I doing this for me, or am I doing this because I think there's something wrong with me that I need to fix? And I just want to invite you into the space of doing things, setting goals, setting intentions from a place of like, is this nourishing? Is this supportive? Is this, you know, giving me more of what I need to be to have healthy relationships, a happy life, feel like I'm pursuing my vision for life versus like there is, if I don't fix these things and I'm unworthy of love or success or ease or rest, that we should do the things in our lives like this, setting these intentions, not from a place that there's something wrong with you, but instead from a place of how can I be better supported by me? That's all.
Right. Let's talk over here about like visions, manifestations, and like metric-based goals. So often what I see people do is they set really ambitious goals for themselves that are completely metric-based, meaning they are dependent on other people and their response. Meaning we're putting our sense of value, our sense of like worth, our sense of like ability to achieve and accomplish in the hands of randos. So meaning like, okay, I'm going to, and those randos could be like our metabolism, like even. So instead of saying like, I wanna get 100,000 followers on Instagram, saying, right, I'm gonna post every day on Instagram. Because you can't really be responsible for how people choose to respond. You can only be responsible for what you put out. I think the same thing happens in diet culture where we say like, I'm gonna lose 100 pounds instead of I'm gonna feel healthy and happy and energized. We focus on like some sort of a tangible metric and weight can be that to us. But what if instead we focus on like, I wanna be healthy, I wanna feel good in my body, I wanna feel energized, I wanna have a supportive relationship to food, and then maybe I put a plan in place and I say, in order to do that, I know I need to move my body every day. So what does that look like in practice? But instead of saying that if I move my body every day and I don't lose 100 pounds and I give up, right? That's what people tend to do. That's what these metric-based goals do to us. They make us think we're not doing the thing we agreed to do if we're not getting the results that we think we want based off of a metric that is probably typically arbitrary. And then we get discouraged and we give up. But here's the reality is, right, like you never know when your time is your time. You never know what's gonna happen. But we do need to treat the things that we wanna do as things that are important to us, whether other people recognize that or not, or whether our body responds the way we hope it will respond or not. We love ourselves, we treat our bodies well, we do the things that we intend to do, even if we're not getting this like metric-based result that we think we want. And then the doing of the thing becomes its own reward. And I think that that's where we get kind of mixed up, is we get focused, so focused on the metrics that we forget that the doing of the thing is the fun thing. That's the reward. That is like the thing to focus on. So I'm not the biggest fan of these kind of goals, except some doesn't mean that we don't set vision for them, right? So a lot of times we set vision in like a manifestation way. We say like, okay, I would like 100, I'm gonna have 100,000 followers on Instagram. And we set that intention into the universe. And I know that there's this whole belief that like there's like a magic that happens. If you stay in like a positive vortex and then it attracts like, and you're gonna draw in the good things that happen to you. I don't believe in any of that. That seems made up, I'm gonna be honest. However, what I do believe in is in positive intention. I do believe that what we put out into the universe becomes what we recognize in our life, right? If I say, I wanna have 100,000 followers on Instagram, well then all of a sudden I'm gonna pay attention to, okay, I agree that I'm gonna post every day on Instagram, I'm committed to the process, but I'm also, all of a sudden I have this idea of like what I want, so I'm gonna pay attention to if I'm getting that or not, and I'm gonna notice what content gets picked up well, what content doesn't. Let's say I put a certain kind of house on my vision board at the beginning of the year, and then I'm looking for a house in 3 years. I'm probably gonna be more drawn to a house that looks similar to the one I put on the vision board, because at some point I recognize my subconscious said, this is what we're going for. And so I'm gonna be more inclined to find it. I'm more inclined to say yes to opportunities that are gonna send me in the direction that I've said I wanted to go. So while I don't think it's like magic that like you just put your intentions out and then everything just falls in your lap, I think you decide what you want and then you're more inclined to take the steps to get there. I have a lot of thoughts on manifestation. I think there's also like a lack of recognition of privilege that comes with that. That mindset, there's also, like, for me, my anxiety ate me alive when I was believing in that. Because if you can't think positively, then everything in your life is gonna fall apart. And oh no, I'm worrying about that, which means I'm not thinking positively, and it just feeds itself, right? So a lot of times too, you have these like very privileged people talking about how everything just fell into place, and they're not talking about how like their parent, they fell into place because their parents like paid for them to do it. All of that to say that while there's not anything wrong with having these more like metric-based, manifestation-based goals, I think hold them in their accurate place, which is just cast the vision, maybe at the beginning of the quarter, at the beginning of the year, but then really focus on your plans and your lifestyle when it comes to where you're putting your energy, right? Don't put your energy in, am I getting 100,000 followers in the timeline that I think I should based off of something really arbitrary. Instead say like, I'm gonna focus on like what I said I would do in order to get there and let the rest fall into place. And then we can analyze it, make adjustments, but like I'm focused on my plan. And then use the lifestyle goals, the lifestyle information as the information that you need to create the plan, right? So how do I wanna feel? What is my life? What do I want my life to look like? I'm gonna make my plans off of that instead of the other way around, right? So this is how I think about it. Maybe it's a little bit complicated, but hopefully it brings you a little bit more ease, a little bit more freedom, and inspires you to set some goals, check in with your lifestyle, and cast a vision for 2023. Thank you guys so much for joining me, and I will see ya tomorrow for the next one. Bye.